It's me again. The word of the Lord reads from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Happy Renew Year. I couldn't watch YouTube videos. Blocked plugin was the message that I received. My computer didn't have the latest security updates, so I was denied access. Frankly, this is the only reason I started looking to update the Flash Player on my MacBook. I agreed to the terms and conditions without reading them. Don't judge me. I clicked on buttons without fear of virus or malicious software and felt a sort of relief as I watched the software download. I restarted the computer and expected to watch the videos immediately. No. I downloaded the program again and again and again. Then I discovered that while the software was on the computer, I needed to go to my security settings and enable the new changes. It was not enough for me to have the new program if it did not let down my defenses and allow it to work. Let me confess, I had received messages from other websites, which shall remain nameless, but I ignored them. I was still able to search the web, to write and to read, to watch documentaries and the news. So I put it off because it wasn't impacting my ability to use my computer. So when that privilege was denied, I searched my computer for software updates, whether they were applicable to the Flash Player or not. I would put whatever it took on the computer so that I could watch my videos on YouTube. I would download whatever it took to get my system up and running again until I received the message that my software was up to date. I was committed to the process because I like things to work and to work well. And the sad fact is that the update didn't cost a dime. My reluctance to fix my computer until it didn't function well reminds me of the spiritual life. How often have we received messages that we are not functioning well, that there is an update available to us? We are so busy that we will not stop until we are stopped, unable to perform our daily activities. We do not stop until sickness or death, hardship or disappointment gets in the way of our ability to live life comfortably. How many of us have the message, but have not let down our guard, still denying God access to parts of our lives, yet wondering why this or that is not working? And it's not that we don't like updates or upgrades. We love them when it comes to our phones. We want the latest and the greatest, the slimmest and the fastest. We will stand in line for it. We will make space for it. We will erase applications. I've erased phone contacts. I don't really need to know them or their phone number. We'll erase pictures and videos. We'll pay the price because it costs what it costs. Because we believe that we need it to stay connected. But what of our minds? When was the last time that it was updated with the truth of God's word or the witness of God's people? When was the last time that we searched the scriptures like I searched my computer so that we could live better, function better in our relationships? And what has to stop working before we change our minds? The Apostle Paul is an exemplar of one who served the Lord with his mind, and he wrote to the church at Rome, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In the preceding chapters and verses, he outlined our faith, and now he turns to its practice. And it is twofold, inward and outward. He asks that we sacrifice our bodies to lay them down without kicking and screaming, but as worship rendered unto God. Paul does not mention age or condition, height or weight, ethnicity or gender. It does not matter because it's a sacrifice. It does not matter what we look like. Just lie down. Just present your body. Just surrender. It is not forced or assisted, but it is DIY. Do it yourself. Self-sacrifice. Then Paul asks us to not be conformed, not to comply or to go with the flow, not to accommodate our lives to this world, to its culture and inclinations, but to be transformed, not through the renewal of a gym membership or a magazine subscription, but by the renewing of our minds. It is a conversion, a renovation, a complete change for the better. It is a reconditioning, an overhaul, an update, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration. It's one of those vocabulary words that we didn't study. We just confessed Christ and hoped the water would do the rest. Paul reminds us of the practice of our faith. The work of believing requires a change, but not just a change of heart, but a new mind. The Reverend Alexander McLaren concluded, "Christian living is inseparably connected with Christian believing. Wrong thinking will not lead to right doing." And this change is not outside of our control or even outside of us. We do not have to wait for the endorsement of family or friends, legislation or a vote, signatures or approval. The mind is our tool for self-improvement, not a change of diet, but of thought. We cannot lose the weight of our past, of toxic people, of shame and regret, without changing our minds. The new year is not about you getting it right this time. Christ already did that. He set things right more than 2,000 years ago. Everything in our lives will remain wrong unless our minds are changed by this truth. We won't be able to discern, to tell the difference between God's will and our own if we don't. We won't be able to perceive what is good and acceptable and perfect. Instead, our minds will lead us astray, defeat us, sabotage us. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing is at last sacred but the integrity of your own mind." Many of us are planning for a new life in the new year. We have resolved that we can have a new body, a new marriage, or a new job in the next 365 days. A new mind doesn't even make the list. But no change can happen without it. If we do not change our minds, then nothing else will change. And we love transformations and makeovers. We'll try a new hair color. I see some of you. A new hairstyle, a new outfit, a new shoe, a new food or route home. But when it comes to the mind, there is hesitation and trepidation. We are not certain of the outcome, and the mirror will not tell us if we like it. So we passionately confess, "This is the way that it has always been. This is just how my family is. This is who I am." Consequently, our mind becomes a fortress and our thoughts a shield. We are stuck in our ways because we will not allow God to renew our minds. James Baldwin said, "We are trapped in history, and history is trapped in us." So there isn't much interest in new thoughts, whether free or discounted. And the scripture is not written in fine print, but still we have difficulty accepting it, signing off on it. We don't know where to start, so changing our minds can seem like an impossible task. But the writer of this proverb offers words that are part warning and part motivation. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." We are what we think, not how we look, not what we eat, or even what others say. Marcus Antonius believed the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. We are simply our words. A new life requires a new mind, a new word. So what are you saying? Really? What are you thinking? And is it new? Or is it more of the same old, same old? This change is not about a matter of time, but of choice. And there is a clock striking in our soul even now. Tonight it is my prayer that we might have a happy renew year. Amen.